thanks you every for you.
Sing it unto him.
Oh Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be your living sanctuary. For you.
Amen. Amen. Just to be a sanctuary for the Lord. If you like turning your scripture, turn to Revelation 10. We'll read in 1 through 7. I know we've already made the announcements, but remember the Bible study, 6 o'clock. Remember your time change is Sunday, so take care of that. Remember Brother Wade and Brother Aaron will be preaching for our Sunday here, the Lord willing. Peggy and I will be up at Brother Richard Wilson's for the weekend. And so just pray for us as we travel and go in fellowship and have a good time in the Lord. Brother Donnie called and said that he was sick, so there's a lot of this old stuff going around. Brother Joseph telling me there a while ago that he's having a bout with it. So, you know, it's coming back around. So let's just pass it on to somebody else. I don't mean that to somebody else. I mean the devil. Not somebody else to make them take it and get sick. Give it back to him, let him be sick, because he's the author of it. So, and Abby Grace, she's been having a bout with it and vomiting this afternoon, but we believe all is well because the Lord said it was. Amen. So just remember these announcements. Revelation 10. Father, we thank you. We love you. We cherish you, Father. We pray that you would just bless us now as we endeavor to speak about you and your word, Lord, and you know the hindrances of our human mind, so just forgive us and come and cleanse us and guide us and let our hearts be set on you, that we may hear from you and be able to speak what you've given unto us back to your people, that they may hear. Because truly we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. We know that, Lord, we're in the hour when it's time to come and see. So just have your way. Guide us now and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants, the prophets. You may be seated. The Lord had his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we're still trying to speak on the book of Revelations, and what we want to talk tonight about is the time of this coming, or the mighty angel, either way you want to put it, but I just put the title, the time of this coming, because we want to see something that is laying there that we need, I believe, for the day that we're living and the hour upon the earth. So just pray that the Lord would bless. Now you remember what we were trying to bring out Sunday on the message, what is the voice of God? The voice of God is the word of God. The prophet there in the seal book, he said, have you heard God's voice through the opening of these seals? But see, everybody wants to, they think about when you say voice of God, they think that it's got to be some audible form before they can ever believe it. And like I was trying to illustrate to you there Sunday about the man that told me God spoke to him audibly about the water baptism. But see, he still didn't do what the Lord told him to do. So you can hear the voice of God, but be careful how you do what you do with it. Alright. But the voice of God is the Word of God. The prophet, as I said, he said, have you heard God's voice through the opening of these seals? Alright. What kind of a voice are we looking for? As I said, we want to hear an audible voice. But a lot of people have heard an audible voice. And all it meant to them was a thunder. The children of Israel heard the voice of God on Mount Sinai when it thundered forth. And they said, don't let man speak to us. Moses, you go up and get the word and come back and tell us. And we'll do it. Well, they lied because they didn't do it. Right. Okay? So then that's, you know, you say, but if I could just hear his voice. Well, what's the matter with reading the Bible and realizing that's God speaking to you? What's the matter with hearing the prophet's voice when God even said one time to him, said, you're not hearing William Branham, you're hearing me. What do we want to hear? What kind of a thing would it take for us to be able to accept that as being the voice of God? What would it take? What does God have to do to let you and I know, see, and understand where we're at? What's the thing? What do we have to have? See, then you rely back, see, but if Brother Branham was just here, when they, you know, and you ought to realize one thing, Brother Branham couldn't tell you something if God didn't tell him. Right? Well, what do you want? What do you want of the voice of God? What are you looking for? Why can't you believe that when you read the Bible, when you hear the prophet's message, when a minister speaks unto us by the word of the Lord, why can't we believe that to be the voice of God? Well, I could believe it if it's Brother Branham. See, you're going right back. That's what they said to the children of Israel, said to Jesus. If Moses had said that, we'd believe it. Because he was the voice of God. See, it's always behind. Man is always looking back somewhere to try to proclaim something of a reality instead of looking at what's taking place right among us. Why can't we believe it's the voice of God? You know why? Because the prophet said it like this. He said it's hard to get one man to believe another one. But we can always say, I believe Brother Branham. I believe Jesus. I believe Paul. Well, there's a lot of women preachers in the pulpit around the world today hollering that they believe Paul, and they still preaching when he said it wasn't right. So you understand what I'm trying to get at? See, what are we looking for? What would it take for God to do for us to believe that he's speaking to us? What would it take? What would God have to do for us to declare we've heard the voice of God? See, we're always looking for something, you know, some kind of a deal that would instantaneously produce something, and we think that's the voice of God. The prophet said, when you begin to see the words, you're seeing Jesus. Right. You know, the word form of what you're seeing is the closest thing to God on the earth as a physical. I'm talking about, I mean, even, it's just the closest, because there's not going to be a physical body coming to earth until the millennium. Well, see, why would we doubt then what God says? He said, well, Brother Dale, I don't know what's hindering me. I just can't seem to have faith. I thought faith was revelation. I thought Revelation was the word that was revealed to you. Then turn down the source of it to be revealed. And what have you got? You know. See, turn down the source. You know yourself that the world system, church world system, turned down the voice of God, right? In this our day. And we know for certainty that he was outside the door knocking, right? Because he used to preach among all of them, then he got where he couldn't even hardly go nowhere. Why? Because he was the voice of God. But see, he's outside the door. Well, then where are we supposed to be? But see, the scripture says, harden not your hearts when you hear the voice, as in the days of the voice. Yes, but I just can't believe that. You have no excuse. Lula has no excuse for any form of jibber-jabber or a made-up form of an idea of why we don't believe. Because God has revealed his word. See, we believe that, all right? Let's stand on that. I'd certainly rather be standing on the word than standing in heaven, because according to the word that I'm reading, heaven and earth will pass away, but the word won't.
Right.
But yet, my point is, and it's what I'm trying to get there, and then I'll get off of it. My point then was what I'm trying to say. When are we going to believe that God is speaking to us by the revealed word? Now, I'm not talking about the letter. I'm not talking about just because that we can hear the tapes or we can read the books. I'm talking about what's revealed. But you know what? God cannot speak to you unless you open the channel for him to speak through. And that means you must hear. There's never been nobody in the world of a human mortal that God didn't have to use a background to be able to bring them to a position to where that he could speak to them. Show one. Show me one. There's always got to be a background. There's always got to be a foundation before you can believe anything. It's like I tried to tell the people many, many years ago when they said, oh, we'll be glad when we can speak that word. I said, that's all right, but you got to get it first. But it's got to be revealed. The brother used to come around here that, you know, and preach for us years ago. And he said, Brother Branham, you know, and the tapes there and all, that Brother Branham told him, said, one day you'll say the right thing and you'll be healed. And I told the brother, I said, probably you said what you're supposed to say, no telling how many hundreds or thousands of times. But I said, you've never said it by revelation. I said, when it's said by revelation, you'll get up. But see, trying to find something when it's among us. All right, then, you know, just keep that in mind. Now watch what I'm talking about. As I said, have you heard the voice of God, as the prophet said, through the opening of the seals? So I ask you, have you heard the voice of God through the series that we've been on of the book of Revelation? Have you heard the voice of God? See, if not, then you wasted a lot of time. And maybe I did too. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? See, because I can't reveal anything to you. Brother Branham couldn't reveal anything to you. Jesus couldn't reveal anything to you. It takes the Father to reveal. And if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then there's no way to get a revelation. If you heard it every day of your life, the prophet said in the church age book, you put a wrong interpretation in on it and go into sin. All right. But you see, we've been covering the book of Revelation showing what? Now what's been our thought? I want to background just a little bit. Pick up, make sure you're following me. and then we'll just lay out the nugget and go on with it. All right? Well, what's been our point for 53 sermons? This is 54. What have I tried to hammer to you? Every service, I've talked about the thought that I had in mind. And Brother Brown said, take it, one thing, hold it up till the people gets it. Then move on to something else. All right. What have we been talking about? That the book of Revelations is the one book that Satan hates the most, because he knows if the people realize and find out that book is showing them. No wonder he hates the book of Revelation. No wonder he told us not to do it. No wonder he's in the message today preaching like he does. You can't understand them seals. You can't understand. We just have to wait till the prophet comes back. We're just sitting around. That's their business, whatever they want to preach. I only say it to just show you what people do say, and you know that's what they say. If not, go out and talk a little bit. You'll find out. Go and listen. I'll be glad to pay you expenses. A few places that I'd just like for you to go listen. And then come back and see what you found out. See, because I believe the book of Revelation is the greatest book of the Bible. Because it's the life book of the Bible. It's what I've told you. The whole Bible is sealed up by the book of Revelation. Not just the seals, not just the whole faith of the fathers, everything is sealed up. Why? Because there's no way to get it unless you have ears to hear, and you can't do that without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and unless you have someone that you can depend upon. See, in the message people, they take what Brother Brown says up to a certain point, and then they go off on their own ideas. So that's not what God is saying. Right? Even though they can verbatim quote it, but what about the rest of it? But see, the book of Revelation is showing where he's at. You remember what we brought out there in the Revelations 1 where Brother Brown said, now, John, I've got you here. First off, I want you to know who I am. So he declares himself to be the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, all the things. And he says, now I want to show you my future work in the church. So remember that now, the point I've been making. From the book of Acts, you know, the Holy Ghost coming on the day of Pentecost, the book of Acts. From that time on, you never find Jesus standing anywhere throughout the Bible in a physical form of any shape, by himself. You see him in a multiple form. In the bride. Now let me make a statement here right up front, alright? Now, we believe Brother Branham was a prophet. We lay on that. That's our whole point. And what he said is what's right. Alright? Now, but let me ask you a question. Is Brother Branham a part of the bride? Or was he outside the bride? You know, is he something that was outside of the... We know he was outside the church system because they put him out. But was Brother Branham something extra other than... No, he was first a born-again believer. Sure, he was a prophet all his life because he's called. He was ordained to be a prophet. That's why that he said, you've been given greater gifts, remember, than all the prophets. Why? Because there was no other major prophet. Now we know Paul was a prophet, Agabus, etc. But not a major prophet like we're talking about Brother Branham's position. There's not another one in the Bible that was a born-again believer. John the Baptist was the last one to come and introduce. So he had all the... He was a born-again believer. It took him 30-something years to preach the stature of a perfect man. That's what he said. So it must have took him 30-something years to reach that position. See, then he had to get to the place of the faith of the fathers before he could ever teach anybody else how to do anything. Right. Now, but remember my point now. Was he outside of the body or was he in the body? All right, now, he was in the body of Christ. So now remember my point. That you never see Jesus Christ by himself in a corporal type form. You always see him in a bride form. Well, then Brother Branham's right there in it. Did Brother Branham have one rapture, but John going up in Revelation 4:1 to type our rapture makes us in a different rapture? Or was his rapture typed in Revelation 4:1? Now I'm laying that down for a point because people, as I said, they'll take the combat beast. As we did. We went through that in chapter 4 and chapter part of 5, you know. The lion, the ox, the man, the eagle. And they'll say, oh yeah, the lion was the Spirit of God in all the people. Spearheaded by, you know, the Word going out. And the Spirit of God in there to bring it forth for the age. And we'll say, yes, the ox was God in the people. Sure, there were leaders in the time of the ox ministry. You go back there and pick up Irenaeus, Columba, and all of them coming, especially Columba coming in there right into the turn when the persecution really set in. But everybody says, sure, that was the Spirit of God in the people. But then they say, well, sure, the man. Right? That was Luther, Wesley, Campbell, and Knox, and all of the men. You know, the Whitfields, the ones with the writings and the bringing back of the printing presses and the things and the shrewdness, Brother Brown said, of a man. The other two was in an ox animal form. But see, he said the shrewdness of a man. Because in that age it was needed. But everybody's, oh yes, that's the Spirit of God in the people. But then when you come to the eagle, Brother Branham, that's all we say. But just remember one thing now, what I just said, and you amend it, so, and you out there on tape, if you heard it and you amen what I said, then now here's my punchline. Because I deliberately done that to draw you up to the point of amening it, to where I could say what's on my heart. Alright? Now, see, Brother Branham, whatever would be in him would type the bride. If John on Patmos and the going up and the typing, etc., could be done through John, wouldn't it be then that the prophet in the end time, Brother Branham, and his ministry and everything would cover the entire body? Wouldn't that represent the body or bring forth and show what the body is supposed to strive for? But see, when you do like that, and people say, oh, you're trying to be a prophet. I'm not trying to be anything. I'm just trying to be a member of the body of Christ. That's all I'm trying to be is a member of the body of Christ. I stopped it around here when people said, you're a prophet. I said, no, I am not from this pulpit. Because if I'm a prophet, I'd have to walk out of here today and go on the field. Because prophets don't pastor churches. They can do it for a while. All right. But now listen. Then when you see what's in Brother Branham, you see what God expects out of the bride. Now I said bride, not one member. Now we're not, bride form is not one member. That's why I believe what God's revealing here, He's revealing in Africa. He's revealing in China. He's revealing in India. He's revealing in Jamaica. He's revealing in all the things. Before I forget it, we hadn't announced it, but remember we're going to have and announce it to you that are visiting with us, announce it back at your church, and we'll call. But we're going to have Friday night, Saturday night, and probably Sunday morning will be the service, and then we'll have a dinner after the morning service. All right? So that way we can just let Brother Reed, whatever he wants to do on Sunday, if he wants to preach a couple of hours, he can just preach right on, and we'll go right on and have our dinner, and then we'll go home. I just felt like it, and I asked him to come to be with us, you know, and the Lord willing, they'll be here. May be here for the Wednesday, but we'll see about that. But announce it that we're going to have Friday night, Saturday night, and then Sunday services will Brother Reed preaching for us, because I'm looking forward to that. All right. But now look, do you get the point? In Brother Branham is what God is looking for in the body. Right? Now you understand the point. Not one person now, but in the body. God showed an example form in Romans 8 there, where the world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. It doesn't say manifestation of the Son of God. He's just one. But I've told you many times before, in Brother Branham, nature saw its master. But that was an example to you and I. See, now that, I know what that goes to. It goes to people's mind. Oh, you're trying to be something. I'm trying my best to be what God has made me to be. That's exactly what I'm trying to be, is what God made me to be. And He put me in the body, so I want to tell the body what God's expecting of the body. We talk about the anointing among us. We talk about the anointing to come and us to vindicate, Malachi 4, Luke 17, 13. What is to do to vindicate? We don't have to prop this message up. That's not what's being said when it said to vindicate it. We are to bring this message alive into a group of people. That's to vindicate it. That's to show that what God said was right. But now watch a minute. Now I'm just laying a background for something. So just hold on to the point. When you look at Brother Branham's life and ministry, that's what God expects out of the bride of Jesus Christ around the world. He was the example in humanity. Come on. He was an example in humanity because of the life he lived and the way he was. But he was an example in the fact that the Word come to the prophet. Now, I got another message coming up later on this, so I'll just stop that point. But now listen. So then when I was talking about the bride being seen in Revelation, you know, in the book of Revelation, in chapter 1, where that God is in the midst of her until she is the one like unto the Son of Man, girt about the pouch with a golden girdle, Brother Brown is part of that. And without him, it wouldn't be complete. You know that Brother Branham said that God's not complete without you? All right? So then he must have divided himself up among us. So then we just find our part to be what we're supposed to be. All right? So we went through chapter 1 to see who he was, then to see where he was at. All right? See, then we went into chapter 4 and we saw the throne and the one on the throne and the 24 elders and the combat beasts and things as the Spirit of God in the people. And as I said a moment ago, everybody said, oh yes, that eagle, that's just Brother Branham. No. A man years ago made a statement, and it was the only statement out of the whole message that even made me consider what he was thinking about. He said, you say Brother Branham was a prophet? Said he just come to make way for the prophets. Well, I'll get to it, the Lord willing, when we get back in Tennessee, maybe, but he had his statement backwards. See, God was already here. before the prophet came. He was already here in the prophet ministry. And that's where people disallow the gifts and the things like that and ridicule the people of Azusa Street. When that was, the prophet said, was the outpouring of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, just like the book of Acts. Now, I didn't say that. He said it. So don't argue with me about it. I've had people to try to do that, but don't argue with me about it, because I didn't say it. But I know he did. All right. But you see, in chapter 4, Brother Branham went up in the rapture, typed by John. You and I went up in the rapture, or we'll go up in the rapture. You know, Brother Branham was taken up into the spiritual realm to where John went. You and I are being taken into the spiritual realm, and one day then with Brother Branham, we'll all go into the literal realm, whatever what you want to call it, in a rapture. But to find ourselves there. So then when we come down to the fifth chapter with the Lamb that takes the book out of the hand of the one sitting upon the throne, and that Lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which was the seven messengers of the church ages and the seven ages. All right. So Brother Brown's one of the messengers, isn't he? So he'd be part of the Lamb. But see, we think Brother Branham is the one that opened the seals. That ain't even scriptural. The Lamb opened the seal. Then the combat beast said, come and see. Now I want to get back onto that too, because remember, this combat beast in the eagle time is the only one that would know that death and what it was. But I'm trying to just bring a point now, because I want you to see something. All right. So now when the combat beast says, come and see, there is where you pick up the people. And it wasn't understood back there. We know that. Waiting for the last combat beast to be an eagle or a prophet that the word of God could come to. Not that the seals would be broke by the prophet. The seals were broke by the Lamb in the Bible. The prophet was the one who picked up the revelation to bring it back to you and I. That's why he heard the seven thunders. But Daniel heard them and John heard them. But they couldn't write it. Come on, I'm quoting Brother Branham. John heard it and Daniel heard it. We just read that where John heard the seven thunders utter their voices. But not being chosen to bring it, it had to wait until the prophet came. The prophet that was to bring forth the revelation. Now listen to what I'm saying. So then, Brother Branham is not the prophet. He was a prophet. Okay. Now why do you think he was always saying, like in the seal book, he said, I'm just laying a foundation. We'll get to it in a few quotes in a minute. He would stand there with that, even that gift as he was as a prophet. And yet as a prophet, now listen to the words of this and get it right. Even as a prophet, under the gift of a prophet, but yet he could not understand what the seals were, and he had it wrong. Come on. Under the prophet ministry, why was not that sufficient? Now that prophet ministry that Brother Branham had and was chosen for, it could bring the faith of the fathers. And it took him 30 years to preach it. It could bring that revelation. But it couldn't go into the seals. So he had to be waiting on somebody else. Come on now. He had to be waiting on somebody else. Who was it? Was he waiting on? course, everybody says, oh, no, Brother Branham's one. Well, then you just go right ahead and do what you want to. You believe what you want to. I don't have no problem with what you believe. I just preach what I believe. But bring your message to me and let's see if it'll fit with what the prophet said. Come and show me where I'm wrong. Don't bring your idea, bring the message. Alright? Now. Alright? So we went through chapter 1, chapter 4, chapter 5. We went over to chapter 6 and saw the Lamb as the Lamb broke the first seal. And as it did, it was only in a symbolic form, but when it come forth, the Lamb couldn't tell you what it was. The Lamb couldn't even tell you what the symbol was. It was the combat beast that said, come and see. Because remember, the combat beast is the Holy Ghost. Do you understand? No matter what it's in, I've got that on some notes back there. The combat beast is the Holy Spirit. And it was the spirit of that age. Those people couldn't help being what they were when they were out there and giving their life. That was the spirit of the age for them to die and go into the ground. I'm quoting Brother Branham. Martin Luther couldn't help be what he was. He was under that anointing of the Holy Spirit of the combat beast of a man. He didn't want to come out of the Catholic Church. He wanted to reform the church. See, he was finally driven out because that spirit within him couldn't stay there. Wasn't him. Brother Branham tried to stay in organized religion in the beginning. He went around everywhere. He was a Baptist for a long time. Come on, am I right? He said, I carried a Baptist Bible and tried to convert him to a Baptist faith. Now that's what he said about it. But you see, then there was something happened. And that spirit that we'll get to later in that man began to call forth for a higher calling. Now, don't misunderstand me now. And when I say that, you listen to what I'm saying. Don't think that I'm saying the greater one to come was Brother Branham. Brother Branham had his place, his position. But the greater one to come was the Lord Jesus Christ. And Brother Branham wasn't the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. But see, he was looking for somebody. But yet when it was finished, he brought the message from that Christ to you and I. That's how close he was to it. I said that the way I wanted to. He brought the message from that Christ. He was the messenger. He was the come and see. All right. Now, watch then. We went, as I said, Revelation 6 through, we just took one seal and went. We didn't try to go through all the seals. We were just trying to make a point, because I'm not trying to preach the seals and all. I'm just trying to make a point to you. To show you that Lamb that took that book had seven horns and seven eyes that come from the seven church ages. All right. Now that's what the prophet said. All of these are on quotes back there. If somebody on tape wants it, you just back up on the messages a few and listen to them. You'll find all these quotes being read. If you don't, send us a message. I'm glad to send it to you. But listen. Then we got over to Revelations 10. And we began to talk about the voice. You remember? Last Sunday? or everyone, yeah. We were talking about the voice. And the voice of God being the revealed word. And the thunder sounding when the first seal broke. And then when it broke in reality to Brother Branham in Tucson, there was a thunder. Back there, it left it in symbol form. And down here, it didn't tell him what it was. Told him to go back to Jeffersonville. It'd be told him. Now, see, then, trying to cover it to see that the voice of God is the revealed word. See, then it had to be that that life's combat beast would have to be prophetic. And sure, it would be Brother Branham. I done stated it there a moment ago then. But yet, we've got to be a prophetic people to understand. We'll get back on this. Right. Now, I'm doing a lot of this for the internet people because I know and realize there's a lot of people listening. They're just not telling nobody they're listening. That's all right. Ever how Christ is preached, I glory. If it's even preached of contentions, if somebody's, you know, trying to contend with somebody about it and trying to lambast Brother Dale. Brother called me one time. I never thought he thought too much of me. But he called me. And he said, Brother Dale said, I heard two ministers talking about you. He said, they said you was off the word. He said, I told them, that's not Brother Dale and what you're saying, he said. I said, well, thank you, brother. But you see, church, when we come to Revelation 10, you got one standing on the earth, you know, one foot on the land, one on the sea. He raises his hands to heaven. Seven thunders utter their voices. Who was that? That wasn't Brother Branham now. That wasn't Brother Branham standing there. And it wasn't just him standing there to be representative of everything. That was Christ. Let's go over and just read a couple. But like I never know which way I'm going, so just follow me. What are those seals, Brother Branham? Number 7 on your notes, which is page 45, it's the rising of the sun. He is the one who opened those seals. He is those seals. For the whole word of God is Christ. And Christ is the seals that was opened. What is the opening of those seals then? Revealing Christ. And the very seven angels that represented the seven churches was all completed and we couldn't even see it. And they did, they took the picture of it. Not of us. And there he is standing there, supreme judge, showing that he is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. What identification. Now what's he talking about? He's talking about the cloud out in Tucson, right? The angels of the Lord, the wig of authority. But just remember now, my point. Even in what he showed the prophet, he showed him that Hoffman's head of Christ, yeah, but he was wigged by the angels of the church ages. So now you got the same thing as you got in chapter 5, where the Lamb with seven horns and seven eyes. And Brother Brown said it was Christ and those angels telling him to go back to Jeffersonville, be told him later. He said an angel come to him daily, because they was connected. He said on the seal book, he said, it's not been a man. He said, it's been the angels of the Lord. All right. Now watch. Look down on to the number 8, 63:318, which is the first seal. Let me just read it again. It sounds so good to me, I like to read it. I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, a rainbow upon his head, and his face was the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Now, we bypassed all these others, we'll get back to in a minute, that Revelation 10 is the same as Revelation 1. I didn't give these. But listen to what he's saying. Now we saw the same thing, which was Christ, and we know Christ is always the messenger to the church. All right. And he's called a pillar of fire, the angel of the covenant, and so forth. And he had in his hand a little book open. Now the seals had done been broke here. That's Revelation 10, 1, right? The seals had done been broke. We're breaking them now. All right. Going over to number 9. Message called Shalom, 64:112. But did you notice before the seven seals were revealed, before the great mysterious light showed forth in the heavens up here at above Tucson, Flagstaff, where we were, Brother Fred, two of the men that was the two men with me that morning, when that had been told months and months ahead of time would happen. That serves what time is it? Both Fred Soffman and Brother Gene Norman sitting here this morning when it was there when the blast went off and not knowing these things would take place. And he sent me back, said that the time was at hand for these seven seals, which held the seven mysteries of the entire Bible, was sealed with these seven seals. And how these angels down along the road, messengers of the church ages, open to a certain part of that, in other words, partial realization. But in the seventh hour, the seventh messenger, that all these mysteries should be finished. See? The seventh earthly messenger, see? This angel that he speaks of then was on earth. An angel means messenger. Okay. Now listen. And then after that, he saw another angel coming down. Not the earthly angel that had been given the message here. Had been given the message here. But another mighty angel come from heaven with a rainbow over him and set his foot on land and on sea and swore by him that lives forever and ever, time shall be no more. See, but before he broke forth on those seven seals to reveal them, that he showed miraculous, he showed it first in the heavens. And he's talking about the pictures and the thing. Now, before the opening of the seals, he met the angels in Tucson, right? Okay. Who is that? It's Christ. The angel of the covenant is the one that stands with one foot on land, one on sea. There's your bride again. We got a couple of nods. Ain't got an amen yet. Because remember, he's not seen apart from her. Now remember what we read in here. The seventh earthly messenger. See, this angel that he speaks of then was on earth. An angel means messenger. And then after that, he saw another angel coming down. Not the earthly angel that had been given the message here, but another mighty angel. All right. Now, let's see if I can find it. Right, now drop back to where we are on number one. But here's the point now. Brother Branham was on the earth when that angel descended. Revelation 10:1. He was on earth when that happened. All right. Let's just go slow. The breach, 1963, 317, the breach. Page 72. This seven seal book, now I didn't give you these and read them, but I want to read it again, okay? Is revealed at the time of the seven thunders of Revelation 10. And the book is revealed at that time, if you're marking it down. Let's turn to Revelation 10 just a moment, so that you'll get an understanding before we get into it. Now this is at the end time, for listen, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud and a rainbow upon his head. If you notice, that's Christ. See? Because he in the Old Testament was called the Angel of the Covenant. And he's directly coming to the Jews now, for the church is finished. See? All right. And his face is where the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Description of bride form. You remember that angel in Revelations 1? Same thing. Angel is a messenger, and he's a messenger to Israel. See, the church has done been raptured. See, now are fixing to be raptured. He comes for his church. Page 74, same message. Now we see that this seven seal book now is the mystery of redemption. It's a book of redemption from God. Now all the mysteries at this time should be finished at the sounding of this messenger. Now here's the angel on earth, and another angel, mighty angel, come down. See. This angel was an earthly angel messenger. Now you know who that was, Brother Branham, right? And here comes one down from heaven, a rainbow covenant. Watch it. See, only Christ, it could be just exactly like it was in Revelation, the first chapter, standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks with a rainbow to look upon his jasper and sardis stone. Remember, girt about the pouch with a girdle, that was the bride. Go right on down to 74, which is back up right above where this is at. I put them deliberately. It's page 74, same message, the brief. Now you see, I'm just not making that up. That's what? It's thus saith the Lord. I'll read it to you out of the book, the sounding of the seventh angel's message. The mystery of God should be finished that's been declared by his holy prophets. That's the prophets who wrote the word. Prophets, not just Brother Branham. The prophets who wrote the word. At the sounding of the seventh church age, the last church age, all the loose ends that through these church ages has been probed at will be wound up together, and when the seals are broke and the mystery is revealed, down comes the angel, the messenger, Christ, setting his foot upon the land and upon the sea with a rainbow over his head. Now remember, this seventh angel is on earth at the time of this coming. Page 26, souls in prison, 1963, 11:10, the morning service. Notice it was to be the seventh angel's message that was to reveal the seven seals, Revelation 10:7. Now you'll find it. And he saw this angel come down, put his foot on the land and on the sea. That was Christ. Had a rainbow over his head. Now notice, you'll find him in Revelation 1, again with a rainbow over his head. Look upon his jasper and sardis stone and so on. Here he come. Put one foot on the land, one upon the water, raised up his hand. He had a rainbow over his head yet. That's a covenant. He was a covenant angel, which was Christ, made a little lower than the angels to suffer. There he come to put his hands up to heaven and swore by him that lives forever and ever, the eternal one, the Father, God, that time shall be no more when this takes place. Now, remember what we read over here? that he's on the earth at the time of this coming. Now I'm going to just ask you a question. I've done read it about four times, deliberately. When does this angel stand with one foot on land and on sea? Or has it already taken place? See, there's a key there that we all missed, I believe, where the prophet says, look, here in Revelation 10, the book is opened. He said in Revelation 5, the book is closed. So Revelation 10:1 is the bride form of the Lord Jesus Christ after the opening of the seals. Could you go that away? Bride form after the opening of the seals. Revelation 10:1 is not the opening of the seals. You say, oh yeah, but what about the thunders? The book has got to be opened before the thunders can sound. But remember, the seventh angel is on earth at the time that one descended. Now he saw him out there descend in a cloud, right? Go up, it's 26 miles high. Christ wigged with the seven angels, right? Bride form. See, the seals were broke back there. Jesus preached them in Matthew 24. So the prophet made a statement that's been confusing to a lot of people. He said, the seals broke and the ages come down. I'll be glad to find you that, and I just hit it in my mind. He said, the seals broke and the ages come down. I remember I used to say that and everybody went haywire. How could the seals break and the ages come down? When the seals didn't break, the end of, well, we're in the last age. The seals didn't break in the last age. Jesus preached the seals in the Bible because he was those seals. It was his life that he was trying to express. And what did he show it as? Bride form. Revelation 10, when that prophet got through preaching those seals, there stood Christ on the earth. There stood Christ. Number 5 on your notes, Christ the mystery of God revealed, 63:07-28. He the head is the first fruits of the resurrection. We'll go off this revelation just a little while longer if you say so. All right. Just a little bit now. He is the first fruits of the resurrection. Is that right? What? Then what is he? He's the head of the body, which is his church. Bride, Then the bride body must follow the head, for it is part of his resurrection and part of the mystery. It's impossible for it not to go. Oh my. It's part of God's mystery. How God revealed himself here and raised it up by the word, so he reveals the church and raises it up the same way. It's a part of his threefold mystery. And remember, the seventh seal was in a threefold mystery. And he said, I'll speak to you of the first fold. And he spoke of the first fold, which was those seven thunders. That's what he said. And he said, it's been the angels of the Lord bring us back here for the message tonight. He said, I've seen it unfold further, but said, I can't say anymore. But just in a few months later, he preached Christ the mystery of God revealed and preached a threefold revelation in page 1617. He said that's why there was silence under that seventh seal when the seven thunders uttered their voices. Listen. When that angel stood there, no seals were breaking. It had been the angels of the Lord that was bringing him the messages. But the thunder was the voice of God that angel delivered. That's what the angel done. The angel was not the voice of God. He delivered the voice of God. So you're making it too close when you try to pull, and then you wind up with the seven church age messengers and try to make them the thunders like everybody has. If you're understanding what I'm trying to bring, Revelation 10 is way on past, because that's going to Israel. Because the bride goes up in Revelation 4:1 and not seen until 19:21. That's the prophet's word. That's not mine. In the seal book, the Feast of the Trumpets, it's for a couple offhand that I can remember. What are you trying to say, Brother Dale? I'm trying to say that it takes those seven unknown thunders to wake the bride up and give her rapture and faith. I'm trying to say the prophet of Malachi 4 to do two things. One, restore the faith of the fathers. Two, bring forth those seven thunders which will literally turn our hearts back. What are those seven thunders? The voice of God when the seal breaks. Now, it don't end in Brother Branham. That's why that I'm trying to get the point to you. It doesn't end in Brother Branham. If it ended in Brother Branham, you'd have Brother Branham as Revelation 10:1. But the prophet said Revelation 10:1 was the same as Revelation 1. So that's bride form. So now it's bride form over here in Revelation 10. Standing there with the voice of God. The prophet said, if a man thinks he knows what those thunders are, said it's got to compare with every scripture in the Bible. Well, come and show me what our priests won't compare. But what was those angels? It was the Spirit of God. What was those angels that come to him daily in the room? The Spirit of God. A heavenly connection. You got earthly angels, you got cherubims, and you got seraphims. Seraphims are the burners that keeps the worshiper clean. That's why I love it like I do. But when you get over there to, who was it? Jacob. He had the dream. He was laying down, looked up, saw a ladder reached from earth to heaven. Angels what? Ascending and descending. Not descending and ascending. Angels ascending. Taking up our prayers. Keeping the worshiper clean. The burners. We pray, God forgive me. That angel takes it up. And when he does, then he brings back the word. Come on. He brings back the word. Why? Because the prophet's already done his part. The seals are broke. The prophet has told us what the revelations were. Now it's time for that mighty angel Christ to stand on the earth in bride form, knowing what those thunders are, bringing it forth into the bride around the world. And he'll declare one day that time is no longer. He'll declare that time is no longer. Now, just for a second. You remember what I've tried to preach for many, many years. Revelation 10:7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. John is to write and take it to the church. John sees the symbols, maybe not understanding, but he sees the symbols. And he's trying to figure out, how in the world am I going to get this back to the church? Right? He said, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. In other words, can I paraphrase it without you claiming that I changed the scripture? But in the days of the voice of Malachi 4, Luke 17:30, Revelation 10:7, the days of the voice of the seventh angel. The mystery singular, which would contain every mystery in the Bible, is to be made known, that he revealed to his servants, the prophets. So where are you standing? With an open book. I remember hearing people many, many years ago, oh, we've got an open book. This book has become a brand new book. And they're still preaching the old denominational doctrine. How did it become a new book? Faith of the Fathers is not a new book. It's supposed to be that book that we already had revealed to us. The new book was to be the seals that no one had ever understood, that even the prophet in his early ministry, under the prophetic ministry of Malachi 4, had it wrong. But when that mighty angel come down, and he saw Christ, but then he didn't stop. He saw Christ. He saw Jesus Christ. But then he saw Jesus Christ in bride form. I didn't say it. Your prophet said Revelation 10:1 is the same as Revelation 1.
I must encourage.
That puts us in a position, church, to fulfill the scripture that they, without us, can't be made complete. They can't be restored back to their earthly bodies unless we realize who we are. It is he that hath made us, and not we are his ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Is that what the psalmist had to say about it? Brother Colley preached that years ago, and that scripture never left my mind. It's been, what, 30 years ago? Because he made me what I am. And all I'm telling you is what he made me. And all I'm telling you is what he made you. But do you understand what I'm saying? See, everybody wants to make Revelation 10 Brother Branham or something. Now, we just read two times in there where that he said the angel was on earth when that angel come down. And he said when the seals broke, that angel was standing over there with the book open. But I just can't understand that, because that puts the thunders over there. This message goes to Israel. This message goes to Israel. I'll show you where I'm going. Revelation 19, what does it say? For the bride has made herself ready, or what does it say? Why does it say for his wife? Okay, good point. Good point. It ain't all of it. Good point. She's married to him. You know what he's distinguishing there? That's not Israel. Because Israel's not his wife anymore. She was put away as being wife. She can claim to be bride in her purity and claim to be dedicated to him, signifying she's not married. She can't be his wife. You understand? She can't be his wife. He's making sure you understand in Revelation 19 that that's not Israel. Because that's where he's coming riding back with his bride. His wife that has made herself ready through, yes, struggling in time and become to where she understands him as her husband. But he's wanting you to make sure. That was just revealed to me the other day. He's wanting you to make sure that you understand Israel's not his wife. Even though the Bible says, "Return unto me, O backsliding Israel, because I'm married to thee." She doesn't come back as wife. She comes back as servant. True. 144,000 comes back as servants, not wife. Because his wife has made herself ready. Distinguishing her from Israel as a natural, you know, part. Because there's a lot of the people of Israel will be in the bride, right? A lot of people in be in Israel when that rides back. A lot of Israelites will be in that group of people that come back. That's the bride. Way of saying it, that's the bride. That's the same one that's standing over in Revelation 10:1. Let me quote another one. Brother Brown said, "Israel sees God coming after us and thinks that he's coming after them." That's how close it gets. Very close, isn't it? That's why it'd be dangerous for anybody that really understood this message to go to Israel today. Because you could preach too much of the truth to them, and a lot of people would naturally, they're not going to see it. Now, don't worry about it. I ain't saying that. But I said it'd just be dangerous. People's tried to take this message and take it to Israel. You take this message, go get the bride out of Israel. Because you'll never get Israel. Because you cannot come forth like that. She must come forth as separate. Let's stand. Come on, Brother Boyd. Do you understand what I'm saying? Revelation 10:1 is after the opening of the seals. And it says, "But in the days," as I was saying there a moment ago, "of the voice of the seventh angel," John is trying to figure out some way to bring this back to the church, because he's commissioned to write it to the church, right? All of the book of Revelation will be written to the church and delivered back to her, right? And he couldn't figure out how to get it back, and then it struck him. That seventh church age messenger is a prophet. So, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, these mysteries will be made known." Don't put Brother Branham over there. But put the message over there to go to Israel. Don't put the bride over there. But put the message to go to Israel. Like I told you, they'll tell them, say, "You missed it. But this group of people has become his bride." Wonderful opportunity to stand. What? Anybody have any? Think on these things. All I'm talking about is Christ. Amen. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day, that will be. Our little buddy's asking a wonderful thing. You know what he wants? He wants his daddy to become a Christian. Your daddy. Okay. Poppy. Wants his poppy, let me get it right, to become a Christian. And I'm sure mommy's involved too, isn't she? Well, what an opportunity. Someone wanting to pray for his granddaddy. Father, a little feller in his mind is thinking about someone else. He wants his granddaddy to be a Christian. And Father, he doesn't have the hindrance in his mind that we do in ours. He doesn't have the doubts and the frustrations. He just believes you. So now, you go make this manifest. Give this one unto our little buddy. We believe you, Father. We thank you in Jesus' name. To be concerned. Are you concerned with the loved ones around you? Have you asked for them? Forever I will be with the Lord. Anybody else that just happened to me? What a day, glorious day. I like that last verse. Let's sing it. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day. What a day this is. What a day this is for us to see it. Many blessings deserving. Anybody else that have a need? God is good, isn't he? To show you who you are and what he thinks about you. A little more today. A whole lot more. Tomorrow, ain't God good? Ain't God good? Is he? To give us so many blessings, undeserving. It's just believing him. We all thank him, love and praise him. A little more today, a whole lot more tomorrow. Ain't God good? What'd he do for us? I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man, right? Old things are passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror. That's what I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Who are we? We are heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. We are the people of his kingdom. We are family. Just sing that to one another as you go. Ain't God good? Father, just bless the people on the way home. Give a safe journey. We love you.